common sense commentary on politics, culture, and current events. If it's on your mind, it's In the News. And now, In the News, with your host, Mike Dakak.
Now, what struck me the most watching the images out of Washington, D.C. this week was the insecurity that it all portrayed, right? All of the armored vehicles, the National Guard troops, who were all unarmed, by the way. They took the ammunition from them. I don't know if you guys caught that, but the National Guard troops were all standing there just holding machine guns or assault rifles with no ammunition clips inserted into them. And that's how bizarre things have gotten. This is how insecure they are about what's happening, right? The barbed wire, the armed transport vehicles. I mean, why are they going through all this? They said, well, there's threats of violence. You know, and by the way, I'm online in a vast majority of my day. And I'm mostly on conservative news sites. And I'm reading through comments as people are wont to do. I'm in chat rooms. I'm in forums. Nowhere over the last couple of weeks have I seen any call to action with anybody saying, hey, let's go to Washington, D.C. and tear some things up or protest or make your voice heard. If anything, it's been the exact opposite. And yet we've seen this bizarre troop buildup in Washington, D.C. and in capitals all across the country. Every day you'd log on and you'd see, well, 5,000 national troops in Washington, D.C. And then the next day it was 6,000. Day after it was 10,000. Day after that it was 50,000. We got up to 30,000 troops or 35,000 troops. Why unarm the soldiers if the crooks are on the outside? If you're trying to be protected from invading hordes, then why are you unarming the people who are there to guard you? It's because the crooks are on the inside. That's why they don't trust anyone. That Capitol building and the Capitol grounds this week, those were the scenes of a crime. That's why they had to look that way. That's why you had to have fencing and concrete barriers and barbed wires. That's why you had to take all of those precautions. That's why you had to fortify. I mean, even the people on the stage, I didn't even realize the inauguration was on the next day. I happened to flick on the TV, and it was right at the moment, you know, strangely enough, that Joe Biden was taking the oath. So I guess if there's any few seconds of that fiasco that you want to watch, it was those few seconds. But even the people, what struck me the most is that even the people on that stage knew this was illegitimate. This was a stolen election. Joe Biden, and I don't say this lightly, and I'm not trying to sound irresponsible, but Joe Biden is not a legitimate president. He's illegitimate. He did not win this election. And so the question is, well, what now? Now, we were all waiting for the for the emergency broadcast system to be activated, right? We were all watching Mike Pompeo's tweets. Oh, 30-minute intervals. Well, now they're 15 minutes. Oh, they're back up to 30. What does this mean? And we're all just sitting around wondering why this charade is allowed to continue, because that's what it is. It's a charade. You and I might not have the power to stop it, but I think we're all sitting around wondering why the people that do have, because there are people who do have the power to stop it. And I think we're all sitting around wondering why the people who do have the power to stop it aren't stopping it. Why isn't anyone doing anything about it? You know, Trump's biggest mistake, and it's the mistake I think most of us are making still, Republicans and Democrats, the vast majority of Democrats, remember, the vast majority of Democrats, folks, are people who are just asleep. The problem is not the guy across the street from your home with, you know, the rainbow lawn sign that says hate has no place here. That person, for the most part, is a well-intentioned, well-meaning person with a sense of social justice. They're not the problem. The people are the problem are the people pulling the strings. We are vastly underestimating the threat that we're facing. Does anyone really believe that the end goal of all this, everything that's been happening over the last couple of years, everything that's been happening over the past few decades, that the end goal, the grand design, was making Joe Biden president from 2020 to 2024? They want to destroy the country. They're after us. You know, Andrew Cuomo, yeah, right? Governor Cuomo. President Cuomo, as he was called for a few weeks and a few months last year. He would come on every day with the coronavirus briefings. You remember this? And he was all folksy and he was, you know, very kind of relatable. And he would get frustrated if people didn't wear their masks. And he would tell these kind of down-to-earth stories about his daughter coming over for Sunday dinner and she would bring the boyfriend and I'm not thrilled about the boyfriend, but he was wearing a mask, so now I'm okay with the boy. You know, all these kind of family anecdotes that made you smile. For months, he's railing against people who don't wear masks. And for months, he's telling us why we have to lock down. You're not wearing a mask for you, you're wearing it for me and the healthcare workers. We have to... He comes out the other day and says it's time to open the economy back up. He wrote on Twitter, if we don't open up soon, we're not going to have anything left when it's time to open up. Really? Welcome to the party, Governor Cuomo. Half the country has been saying this since, I don't know, April? Lori Lightfoot in Chicago. I mean, Lori Lightfoot, again, I don't like to take pot shots at people because I don't think it's conducive to moving the conversation forward. And that's what this show is about. If nothing else, it's about an attempt to move the conversation forward. But Lori Lightfoot is she's just a bizarre, bizarre figure in American public life these days. And I don't understand what the people in Chicago see in her. I don't understand what y'all are doing. Lori Lightfoot is the mayor of Chicago. She comes out the other day, similar to Cuomo, with the masks and everything has to lock down and this is about COVID. And if you recall, Lightfoot is the person way back last spring who says we're going to force people to get vaccines. She was one of the first people to come out and say we're going to rolling out an app and it's going to track who has the vaccine and we're going to put all your private medical data on this app. And isn't this fantastic? And we've already ordered the syringes. This was like, she couldn't wait. She cannot wait to stick you with this thing. She comes out the other day and she says, we have to open back up again. The lockdowns have to end. Within days, folks, of Joe Biden being inaugurated, the staunchest proponents of the lockdowns now come out and are anti-lockdown. What do you attribute that to? What's the point of that? What came of the lockdowns? That's going to help us answer that question. Massive mail-in ballots came of the lockdowns. 2016, there were 33 mail-in ballots in the election that year. In 2020, there were 65 million mail-in ballots. And what did that facilitate? Massive election fraud. What else did the lockdowns do? It shut down small businesses. All over the country, you saw mom and pop shops, coffee shops, gift shops, what have you, all being shut down. You never saw McDonald's being shut down. You didn't see Walmart being shut down. Well, what does the elimination of small businesses do? Two things. Number one, it takes away places where people gather. Where do you usually gather in the normal course of events in your life? Work, school, restaurants, houses of worship? You go there, you talk about what's going on. You share ideas, you share opinions. Maybe somebody tells you something that makes a light bulb pop up above your head. Maybe someone tells you, hey, I came across this interesting article. Speaking of the lockdowns and why it's not necessary, did you know there was a research study that came out of England? Those conversations take place. And now they don't take place anymore. The conversation moved online, where it's much easier to censor you. You say something they don't like, with the click of a button, they turn you off. And now you can't talk to anyone about anything anymore. The second thing the lockdowns did with the elimination of small businesses is that it destroys the independent economy. That means you cannot fund grassroots level movements. If you're worried about where your next meal is going to come from, you're much less likely to donate to that independent media site. You're much less likely to fund the independent candidate running for office who's outside of the globalist system. This was a worldwide play against populism. They're trying to crush populism. That's what it is. Chris Wallace, a Fox News comes out yesterday after Biden's speech and said, this is the best inauguration speech he's ever heard. No, it's not. Give me a break. Yeah, little children writing poems to Kamala Harris. And you know, it's all, This is the level of propaganda now that we are going to be dealing with over the next 4 years or however long these people are in office, this regime, as I heard someone call it yesterday. The point of all that is to demoralize you. Because once you become demoralized, as a former KGB agent, Yuri Bezmenov, says, and if you haven't heard this guy speak, please go on to YouTube, if the videos are still available on YouTube. Maybe I'll try and track one down and put one up on the site. But he lays out exactly what the game plan is for turning a country communist. And we are living through every single thing that he talks about. And he says one of the stages is demoralization of a nation. And he says that's important, it's vital, because once a nation becomes demoralized, they become immune to facts. It doesn't matter the information that they're presented with anymore. They're demoralized. They're just numb. That's what we're going through now, folks. It's about the grand designs. It's not about Joe Biden. It's not about, you know, another stimulus check of $1,400. It's not about, it's not even about things like immigration policy, although that's part of a broader scheme. They're trying to turn us into a nation where the store shelves are bare. They're trying to turn us into a nation where the politicians are crooked, where the security forces are crooked. And every day you turn on the news and we're all out in the street throwing rocks and Molotov cocktails at each other. That's what this is about. You see images like that from countries all over the world. And in the back of your mind, no matter how much you sympathize with them, you say to yourself, it's a third world country. Why can't they ever get their stuff together? What you don't understand is that those people are going through or have gone through over the past few decades exactly what we're going through now, where half the country understands the invisible forces that are arrayed against them and are working against them, and the other half is just blithely going along with things because, you know, that's what the media is telling them to do. You know, over in Italy, and I'm quickly becoming an Italy-phile. I don't know if that's the proper term, akin to Francophile. But there was a constitutional crisis over there this week. Former Italian Prime Minister Matteo Renzi. And this Renzi guy is kind of like globalist extraordinaire. He's the person who's accused of working with Barack Obama to kind of unravel the Trump presidency from way back when. Well, Renzi pulled his support for the current ruling coalition in Italy. Governments like Italy rule by coalition in their parliaments. All the parties kind of get together and they form a coalition government. Whoever has the largest coalition, the majority coalition, then they elect a prime minister, and that's how they rule. Well, Renzi pulls his support for the current ruling coalition in Italy, and so the government plunges into chaos. And so the power play forces the current prime minister, Giuseppe Conte, to scramble to find a new coalition in order to remain in power. At issue over there is authority over a huge 220 billion euro, it's roughly about $270 billion, COVID-19 bailout fund from the European Union. So the European Union got together and gave Italy about $300 billion to kind of stimulate their economy. The problem is both Conte and Renzi and their, you know, respective camps want final say in how the funds are managed. Now, critics of this fund say that it's basically a slush fund. That's what this is all about. And that these people are fighting over control of the fund because they want to be the one to divvy out the spoils, right? You get to buy political support from people. You get to buy patronage from establishment figures. That's not the interesting part. The interesting part is that even though the government plunged into chaos and there were talk of snap elections having to be held, at the very last moment, Conte survives a confidence vote over there. So basically, this was kind of a shot across the bow of Conte. Hey, listen, you know, you're not going to take control of this fund, or we're gonna collapse the government. The problem is, if the government collapses, there have to be snap elections. Well, what happens if there are snap elections? The people win. The populists win. Anti-globalist political parties. There's a fellow over there by the name of Matteo Salvini. Matteo Salvini is roughly, I don't think anyone would object to me characterizing him this way, is roughly Italy's version of Donald Trump. His party, the League Party or Lega, along with another party called the Brothers of Italy, are currently polling, get this, first and third in the nation in terms of popularity, 24% and 16% respectively. Renzi, the guy who precipitated this this crisis, Renzi's Italia Viva party is at 3%. So imagine for a moment if, not the Republican Party, because the Republican Party is for all intents and purposes dead, but imagine if there was a party that Trump led called the Patriot Party. Okay, a lot of people are talking about forming a Patriot Party. Let's say one already exists, and they're polling at 24%, and the Republican Party is polling at 3%, and yet the leader of the 3% party is the one calling the shots. Well, that's what they're dealing with over there in Italy. And a former minister, a minister for family and equal opportunities, her position is called, a woman by the name of Elena Bonetti, she comes out and she says, what we are unwilling to do is forge an alliance with a populist anti-European Union right-wing government, she says. She says, well, you know, there's not going to be any populist or anti-European Union choices made. I mean, folks, how much clearer do you want them to make it? Now, in addition to the recovery package, Renzi also wants to borrow heavily from another fund set up in Europe called the European Stability Mechanism. So that's a separate fund set up by the European Union that allows countries to apply for cheap loans up to 36 billion euros to kind of build up their health system. Renzi wants to borrow heavily from that loan. Renzi is a globalist. Now, why does he want to borrow heavily from that loan? Because when you go into debt to the European Union, it's going to lock your country into the European Union and their globalist agenda. Conte, to his credit, has been a little bit more resistant to the idea. And so, you know, all of these actions by Renzi are just leaving normal, everyday Italians over there confused. What is going on? There was a poll that said 73% of Italians said it was not the time for a political crisis. But what's Renzi doing? Renzi's pushing for a political crisis. Why? Because he doesn't care what the people want. And the people telling him what to do don't care what the people want. I saw a clip yesterday on social media with people out in Portland, Antifa. People descended on the Democratic Party headquarters in downtown Portland. This is yesterday. This is not months ago. This is yesterday. And they started smashing out the windows of the Democratic Party headquarters. And they're spray painting F. Biden on the Democratic Party headquarters. They just won the election. And yet they descended on the headquarters and they're smashing out the windows. And there was one shot that kind of sticks in my mind. Someone had put a Biden-Harris campaign poster on the inside of the office, but up against the window so you could see it from the outside. And one of the protesters came up and just smashed the window right in that spot as if to symbolically smash Biden and Harris. This was like an hour after Biden and Harris were inaugurated. They're coming for us all, folks. It has nothing to do with race. It has not. There are a couple of journalists on television crying over Biden's inauguration. This guy on CNN, Van Jones, and even one of the people on Fox, I think Juan Williams, I saw. I didn't actually see the Juan Williams clip, but someone sent me a message saying that that's what happened. You're being manipulated. All this emotion that you're showing, it's lost on the people that are pulling the strings. You are dancing on the ends of these strings. You're being manipulated. They're using issues that you care about and issues that, by the way, have some kernels of truth. They don't just make things up out of whole cloth. That would be too easy to deny and ignore. They take things with that are real wedge issues in a society, and they exploit them. And so that's why nothing can change. Someone asked me the other day, well, what does it change that Trump, you know, how are you going to change your outlook or your, you know, what you talk about or what you cover now that Trump has left? Nothing's changing. Nothing is changing. My head is still down and I'm still working. I've been, and I implore you to do the same. I've been covering almost exclusively at this point the story of election manipulation coming out of Italy. And it's interesting because you see the same names constantly pop up and the same figures and the same entities. This Link University, where this Joseph Mifsud, he's the person who originally told George Papadopoulos, Papadopoulos was working for the Trump campaign at the time, that Russia had dirt, quote unquote, on Hillary Clinton. That was the start of this whole Russia fiasco. That one statement started this whole thing. Well, Link University, when you look into its history, you see that CIA officials have lectured there, FBI officials have lectured there, Italian ministers, both before and after, they would become heads of Italian intelligence agencies there, British intelligence officers lectured there, held conferences there, seminars, training sessions. And it's not, by the way, it's not that Italy has anything against this. They're in the same boat we're in. I mean, the stuff we know about Italy, we know because there are Italians in Italy who are giving us this information. Mifsud, by the way, there were reports in some Italian media that he's been dead for some time. And even the Democratic National Committee, some lawyers who work for the DNC, have kind of floated this idea that Mifsud is dead. Well, Maria Zach of nationsinaction.org, who's kind of spearheading the investigation into what happened in Italy, she says Mifsud is in the United Arab Emirates. Nothing is as it seems, folks. Zach, by the way, Maria Zach, I was lucky enough to interview her this week. She spared about 20 minutes and I was able to connect with her. And a team member at Nations in Action put that together. And so I'm very grateful for that. And what you come away with when you speak to her is that this woman is not lying. I mean, she's not insane. She would not be devoting all of this time and effort and resources, by the way, no one is supporting that organization financially, if there wasn't something here. And one of the first questions that I asked her when I got on the phone with her, I said, is there anybody in the government that's helping you? And she kind of, you know, right away said, listen, I'm not going to, you know, you're not going to get any names out of me or any names of agencies or anything like that. And it was, you know, it was kind of funny because I realized how the question might have come off. But I was only asking that question half as an investigative journalist. You know, when you speak to a reporter these days, it's almost like you're speaking to a, you know, law enforcement. You got to be you have to be real careful what you say, because you say the wrong thing, gets posted online, you know, your life is in upheaval. But I was only asking that question half as an investigative reporter. I was asking the other half was as a frustrated American. How can no one be helping you? But she came back and said something kind of reassuring. She said, you know, I'm happy to report. And I wrote an article about this. Please hop onto the site and check it out. ITNshow.com, www.itnshow.com. And she said something that was kind of reassuring. She said, I'm happy to report that, yes, my last appeal for help has gotten heard. And there are people now in our government who are trying to look into all the pieces. Again, she said, I'm not going to name names or name agencies, but I'm excited about the recent, this is what she said. She said, I'm excited about the recent turn of events of assistance that we are now receiving. And so that's why I'm going to keep my head down, because the fight's not over. You know, that old expression, you may not be interested in war, but sometimes war is interested in you. Well, that's why you have to keep fighting. It's not because we don't want to give this up. It's not because we're not through with the enemy. It's because the enemy is not through with us. Well, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have any comments on any of the issues we discussed, drop me a line. You can reach me at comments@itnshow.com. That's comments@itnshow.com. Thanks again for listening, everyone. Until next time, take care of yourselves.
If it's on your mind, it's in the news. Subscribe to In the News on both iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. This has been In the News.